If I seek from my listeners,
trust me,
as I begin to speak, be sure that I am out to prove myself untrustworthy. This is Dr. Herbert L. Varley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Remember in the Jungle Book and the snake put snake eyes out on people and on the various creatures of the jungle, and trust me, trust me, and he's ready to wrap you up in his wonderful coil and have a good dinner. Well, if I seek from my listeners, trust me, as I begin to speak, be sure that I am out to prove that I am untrustworthy. Because you are the divine. You are the creator of your world. You are the only person that makes any difference in this world. When you're gone, poof, you know, what does the world mean to you? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Right, now, remember that. Okay, so, now you're talking to people. You don't have to prove anything to anybody. And they say, well, what gives you the right to say that these scientific facts are true? Are you a scientist? And you say, no. And what gives you the right to say these things? Are you a student or this or that? No. What gives you the right? Because I believe it. Because it's in my heart and it's what I believe. But that's not enough. You have to go through this educational process and you have to prove by facts and fiction, I mean, not the fiction, you know, you have to prove by facts what these things are all about. And you say, I'm not trying to prove anything to anybody. I'm just talking. Yeah, but you can't just open your mouth and talk without having knowledge behind it. Well, I do. I believe in what I'm saying. I believe in all these strange and wonderful things that have not yet happened. And I believe in a lot of strange and wonderful things that did happen, but nobody knows about them. Nobody knows about them because everybody says, prove it, prove it, prove it. I'm from Missouri. You got to prove it to me. And that's a silly thing to do. Now, let's just get our wires straightened out right away here. I have only one responsibility in this life, and that is to be myself and have fun. Now, if being myself and having fun is proving myself to you that I am correct and that I am from a good foundation of information, then so be it. But that's not my program in life. I don't have to prove myself to anybody. I am who I am. And if I say I did something, I did it. If I say I didn't do it. And I believe me. I believe me. You say, well, you're an idiot too. Because I saw you doing these things, and I saw that happening, and I saw this. Hey, did you really? Or was it an illusion? Was it an appearance that it was me or somebody like that? Did you really think so? Now, there are six people here in this house. And during the night, we hear the refrigerator door open and close and open and close and open and close. Well, now, who took the last fried chicken leg? The refrigerator opened and closed many times. Who took the last chicken? Well, it was certainly you because you like chicken. Well, perhaps it was me. Perhaps it was not. If I tell you it was me, it was me. But if I tell you it wasn't me, then it wasn't me. Now, if you doubt me in the slightest when I tell you that it wasn't me, I don't care. I don't care. You're the one who's going around with false information. But that's okay. That's your game in life. You go around with a lot of false information in life. You say, I don't know this. And then you prove the fact you don't know it. You know, you say, I cannot do this. And then you prove the fact you cannot do it. And you say, I can do this. And then you prove the fact you can do it. But nobody cares. Nobody really cares if you say, I can't do it or if I can do it. The only thing that anybody in this entire world cares about is when you say, I like me, and I'm being myself. The only thing the whole world cares about us in the slightest is if we are living up to our principle of liking ourselves and being ourselves. Do you know how to like yourself and how to be yourself? Trust me, I've got the best way here. You know, drugs, alcohol, all these sort of things, you know. Yeah, sure. They do have a tendency to make the mind a little mellow and make you feel that things are fact that might not be fact. We have what are called gypsum weed here on the campus, here in the high mountains of the backcountry. It's a beautiful fluted lily type of flower, glorious. Oh, it's at least 6 inches, 8 inches long, and on the stem could a profusion of 8 or 10 of them, and then on each one of these stems, and there's lots of them, and then there's nothing. And some farmers pull them out because they don't want their cows to eat them. Because when the cows eat this gypsum weed, they feel they can jump off the hill. And they haven't learned how to fly over the moon yet. So the farmer tries to take them away. So the farmer takes his hands and pulls the weed out, and lo and behold, the farmer is hallucinogenic. Not hallucinogenic, he's hallucinating. He is having himself a wonderful journey into the land of no-no, of nowhere. And he's just having a ball, and he's singing, and he's doing nothing, and he's just playing out there and not paying any attention to his work until it wears off. You know, and he said, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, I forgot, I should have had my gloves on. But it even goes through the gloves. This liquid inside of this hallucinogenic plant penetrates the body. And you can imagine if it makes a cow think he can jump over the moon, that quite likely the farmer could do some interesting things too, or whoever pulls upon these plants. And we have lots of them around here, so if you want to come out here and try it sometime, just come along and pull on these weeds. But you never can be sure what sort of response you're going to have, because you are living in an inhibited world. And the inhibited world you're living in is one that says, you must not do this, you must do that, you must not do this, you must do that. And that's kind of tough. That's kind of tough. If you were with a group of people and all of a sudden you were pulling this gypsum weed out and you got uninhibited and you threw off your clothes and you ran around naked in this group of society people, they'd say, what is this here? You know, what kind of action is this person doing here? How shoddy, you know. And really they're being themselves and having fun, but they've gotten rid of their inhibitions. Now, am I saying that we should get rid of our inhibitions? No, hardly. Hardly. Our inhibitions are what allow us to get along in this world that we're in. Because, you see, if you got rid of your inhibitions, and this is not for you to take as something to do. Probably shouldn't even say it. But if you got rid of your inhibitions, you would mentally be wherever you wanted to be. If you got rid of your inhibitions, you would mentally think any thought you want to think, and it would be instantly demonstrated for you. If you got rid of all your inhibitions are what's keeping you from doing that. And you say, well, you mean that hallucinogenic plant will help me do that? Yeah, sure, it'll help you do that. And so will drugs, and so will alcohol, and so will all these other temporary things. But you see, you're not ready. You're not ready to be released of your inhibitions. You're not ready to stand on your own and be yourself. Because once you're released of those things, you fall into one big experience that you are irretrievable from. And it is so overwhelming, it is so fantastic experience that you will never be the same again. And that is the condition of unconditional love. You will be unconditionally loving of yourself and everybody in the world. You will not expect anything out of anybody, but you will see everybody doing everything beautiful and good and wonderful. Now, it almost sounds like I'm recommending that, and I am not. I am not recommending that. You are a human being. Everybody that we're speaking to are a human being. And because everyone is a human being, they act like a human being. If I could have, say, a dozen of you who were not going to be human but be divine and work with you, what would happen? Nyet. Nothing. If you're divine, there's nothing to do. But you see, you're listening to me to hear something to do in your human mind. You're saying, certainly there must be something to do. I mean, if he's working with these people who are divine, who are living in their divine, certainly he's working with something. I'm working with nothing. There's nothing that has to be done. Ain't nothing the matter, nothing ain't the matter. There's nothing that has to be done. When you have a spiritual healing, you never remember that you ever were ill. When you have a spiritual illumination, you never remember that you didn't know what you are illumined about now. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And can you handle that sort of thing? And the answer is no. And that's why you go to schools like these. You go to organizations that teach you how to listen within and how to be master of yourself. You go to those areas. But that doesn't mean just because you go there that you achieve it. How many people go to these Hindu schools and train to be meditators and so forth? And they get clucked over the head a couple hundred times before they stay awake long enough to pay attention. And once they leave the school, look, if in the Hindu schools alone, and I wouldn't limit it by that, but in the Hindu schools alone, if you could say 10,000, just say 10,000, 10,000 people studied in those schools and trained to be a master, okay?
Mm-hmm.
How many have we seen in the world? How many of those masters have we seen being masters, as we call them, in the world? Very few. And you know why? You know why? They're being themselves and having fun. They don't want to be teachers. They just want to be their divine self. Now, why should I teach somebody? If I look at Ingeborg here, and I look right through her, I look right through this illusion that she's throwing at me, and I see her divinity, what else is there to do? All I say is, Ingeborg, you now see your divinity. You now live in your divinity.
I don't want to. I want to have my bad teeth. I want to have my hair that stands on end. I want to have these problems, you know. I want to have these things.
People do that, don't they? They don't want to give it up. They don't want to give it up. The mothers who are ill, who have problems, they don't want to give it up. Now, people who have good lives, and by good lives, they live happy, harmonious within themselves. They don't go around trying to teach and heal others. They just live it. And you look at these people, you are aware of them occasionally, but not too often. But you're aware of them. You say, wow, is that a neat person? Is that a neat person? I wonder what makes them so neat. And you know what it is. It's their divine nature being expressed. Boy, I like to be near them. I want to be around them. I want to be around that type of person because, wow, I just feel so great when I'm with them. Well, that you're just being yourself. And you're just having fun. And that's a wonderful thing to do. So forget the gypsum weed and the drugs and the alcohol and all these things. They're just temporary. They do sort of point to the possibility. But that's not the pathway. It's the possibility, but not the pathway. Because you want a pathway where you are sure of your foot. You're sure that each foot goes after the other and you're not going to fall off the cliff. A lot of these horses in the Himalayas, and also in Grand Canyon, the mules and stuff that go down these very steep cliffs, just hanging on the edge, and they don't fall over. Why don't they fall over? Because they don't think they're going to fall over. They think they're sure-footed. They're not paying attention, afraid of the cliff that they could fall over and naturally be obliterated. They just say, hey, I'm just walking down my path. And that's the way it works. That's the way it works. Each one of us, we don't have to listen to anyone who says, trust me. Because if they say, trust me, they're still very human and very manipulative. And we don't need to be manipulated by anybody, not even ourselves. We want to be released into our own divinity. And when we're released into our own divinity, everything we could dream of, everything we could want, everything we could enjoy, we are. Just watch people, if you would like to do that. And pay attention The people who are the most unconditionally loving, without any condition. I love you just the way you are. And it's not that they love what you're doing, it's they love you. They love to look right inside of you and see your divinity. You see? That's what they love. And when that's what they love, then that's what they are. And they don't have to prove themselves to anybody. They are just themselves and having fun. You know, we're all there already. We just haven't
opened our eyes.
Opened our eyes? Just haven't opened our eyes. That's a good way. We just haven't opened our eyes. We have the tendency to look at others and say, wow, aren't they wonderful? And it's a reflection of us. So let's look at us and say, wow, am I wonderful? Wow, am I great? I am the divine. Jesus said, it's done unto you according to your belief. And we said, Jesus, you don't know what you're talking about. You haven't been inside of my heart, my soul. Jesus said, oh, yes, I have. Lots of times. I am the Christ, universal in all.
Nice.
And I am in you, and I am in me. And in you is everything you could ever want to dream about. So go for it and enjoy. I love you, I love you, I love you, and have a wonderful, fabulous, glorious, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious day.